Hey everybody, it's Bevan. Welcome to Bevan, a femme over 40 and her friends podcast. I'm your host, Bevan. My co-host, Biscuit Reynolds, has gone to be with the goddess, but perhaps metaphysically he is with all of us. I always like to imagine my podcast is just us gathering as pals on a front porch somewhere, sitting in comfy porch furniture with our favorite cozy blanket. And so please imagine that as we're going to sit and visit and we're going to talk. We're going to see where this goes. I did a lot of prep for this episode, but I am sort of winging it in terms of structure because I think sometimes the conversation is better when I just let it flow. And it's all about releasing perfectionism, which is a big topic of discussion for today. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about how you can support the podcast. I am a Patreon supported artist. Patreon, Patreon.com is a membership support site that allows folks like you to support creators like me who create work that you value. I provide two big free resources, queerfatfemme.com, my blog that I've been maintaining since 2008, which has lots of resources on it. And so anytime you're like, what would Bevan do? Or what would Bevan from the past do? Because really, it's just like whatever version of myself was writing that blog at that time, that's the best I could give you at that moment, right? So you can search in queerfatfemme.com space and then whatever you're looking for, and maybe I wrote about it. It's an extensive archive, and frankly, I don't really go back into my archives much. And I would ask that you give me a little grace about always evolving, because I am a very different person now than I was 2 weeks ago, because I'm just continuing to grow and evolve, and I think that's the point. Of living. I also have this podcast, which has, this is episode 167, What a Treasure Trove. My whole point of this podcast is just to give you lots of examples of ways to be a happy, successful adult, which there are many. And I just don't think you can get it wrong. I mean, yeah, okay. I do think you can get it wrong, but I want to come from the perspective, we're going to talk a lot about this in this episode, that like everyone is doing the best they can with what they have at the time. And I know that's a pretty bold statement to say, but it's true. And anyway, this is, I'm already going into tangents, but that's just the way my sparky brain sometimes works. So patreon.com/FKDP, which stands for Fat Kid Dance Party, which is another thing I create, which is my aerobics class for anyone who feels left behind by mainstream fitness. If you have ever been called too much, too fat, or felt too awkward to dance, mine is the supportive class for you. I offer a full range of all levels aerobics, including from a chair, but also dancing. I've had people who do Ironman fitness stuff, like completed many Ironmans, find joy and challenge in my class. And I have found people who haven't moved in decades and have never danced in public enjoy my class and like it just meets you where you're at. And so I have that and I'm really excited to share that with you. Any level of Patreon support gets you access to my Zoom aerobics classes, but also I think more importantly, it just keeps me going because frankly, like unfortunately in capitalism, I have bills and rent and I gotta pay them. And the more resources I have to put towards my art, the more time I can put towards my art, right? And so I really appreciate all of you who support the podcast so that I can keep creating it. And I can definitely draw a direct line from support I've received from my Patreon to the work I'm creating now. I'm so grateful to have been able to continue to pour myself into the things that really matter to me. And I'm really excited to visit with you today and talk about the Spice Girls. So I got a possible podcast topic from someone who's actually a personal friend who's been on the podcast, my friend McKay. And McKay is an adolescent, some kind of the somatic therapist is what McKay does these days, in addition to just being an incredible human in the world, right? And so they said, my adolescent patients all dressed like the Spice Girls, but had literally no idea who the Spice Girls are. I taught them. What is the power of the femme archetypes offered to us by icons like the Spice Girls, and what are the limits? And so I want to talk about this. So first of all, the Spice Girls, in case you're just learning about it from me, and I'm so excited to be the one that is sharing with you about who the Spice Girls are. Spice Girls are a women's singing quintet that came out in like the late 1900s. And I was in high school in the late 1900s, and I really got into the Spice Girls when I was in college. Back in those days, the internet did not have much for us. This is pre-social media, pre really the democratization of the internet. I don't even think blogs were a thing until the early aughts, the early 2000s. And so this is the late 90s in the 1990s. And anyway, so the Spice Girls like all had these archetypes that they represented, right? And of course they were thin because in those days, because we had a very corporate controlled media, and we had limited access to different ways of seeing femininity played out, we kind of all looked at them, right? I feel like today I love Gen Z. I love the younger generations because they have the possibility, like the paint set is so much broader for them, right? Like, so it's like the different, like at the time we had like a 20 piece Crayola box to color with because that's all we had access to. But because we had cable, we had more access than people like 30 years before us who only had like three TV channels and like whatever was going on in their immediate neighborhood, right? And I think the way we interact with authority is very different because we only had information streams coming through to us from our parents and then from our unsupervised. I was an unsupervised child, unsupervised media consumption, right? So when you have limited archetypes, you kind of focus on that. I was very self-loathing as a young person because I only saw white, thin women, or if they were women of color, they were also conforming to Eurocentric beauty standards. All of these are under the umbrella of white supremacy, which is a tactic of colonialism that is used to control us from inside our minds. The call is coming from inside the house. My friend Sonia uses this term, and I love this: evict the cop in your brain. And a lot of the work of getting free in your mind is just considering where you got this idea in the first place, right? Like, where did you get this idea that thin was the only way to be, Bevan, right? Like, why were you beating yourself up because your body was like a problem and a failure, right? It was because I got it through my family and media, right? Like I didn't see fat girls winning. I didn't see the fat girl get the guy, right? Or like whatever. I certainly didn't see queer people. Like there was like very, very few queer representations in media. I'm really grateful now. Media is so important and it makes such a big difference in how people see their possibilities for their lives, right? The Spice Girls were pretty delightful because they were like five, quote, different, although like in a very hegemonic way. Hegemonic meaning like dominant culture way, but like they all had their own sort of femme archetypes, right? Ginger Spice was clearly very influential on me. And I want to say clearly because if you know Ginger Spice, like she kind of famously has I'm like talking into a camera and yet I have no visual. The only visual aid I have is my postcard of the Ginger Spice boot, which has the Union Jack on it, which is the flag for the UK, which is really where colonialism started. Some white guys with guns just decided to start going and conquering lands and destroying cultures and dismantling cultures and creating genocides and all of those things, right? And so when I think of the Spice Girls, before I even think about femme archetypes, I think about colonialism because they really are just like a corporate created group, literally. Like as a symbol of colonialism running around the world, like colonizing. You know, it's so funny because like first there were white guys with guns, killing indigenous people and like claiming their land. And I'm a former real estate attorney who doesn't think real estate should exist. Like I just think the very premise of brutality for the sake of ownership and power, and then like it becomes like this ever decreasing possibility that people can even own houses. I saw some statistics about private companies buying single family homes and driving the costs way, way up, which is really scary because that then just raises rents for everyone and just makes it more and more impossible to just live and be. And I really wish more and more people had the opportunity to just live and be so that they could heal. And because a lot of like what the legacies of white supremacy in our culture is shame and trauma, and it's heartbreaking, but This is where, like, the internet is here to change things, I think, because the democratization of media means there is more media available to folks like you. You can choose who you're talking to. There's like a gajillion podcasts now. I did a podcast. Someday maybe I'll find the archives to them. They're on a hard drive somewhere and I'll publish them again. But I did like 11 episodes, very like edited, funny podcast. I would say it was funny and informative. And it was like me and my friends and we're talking about feminists and queerness and all of those things, fatness and sizeism and like very, it was like 2008 through 2011 was when I was producing those podcasts, but very different format than now, right? But there were far less podcasts out then. So anyway, it's interesting now, like everyone has a choice of who they spend their time, treasure, and talent with. And I'm grateful that you're here with me. But as we exchange ideas, I think one of the most important things we need to do is to start discerning them and discerning which ideas make sense to us, right? Like my teacher, Leah Garza, talks about resonance. And that's just really just listening to your body, listening to what feels true to you, you know? And like, I think we get installed with this authority trauma, like we're going to fuck it up and get it wrong, right? And like, so then we sometimes... I mean, I'll say for me, like I look back in my life and I see the way that I needed to believe something was true in order to feel safe. And so one of the most important things I've done is to learn how to feel safe in myself. So I don't need external circumstances to be certain in order for me to feel safe, right? And fully self-expressed. I think, so when we're talking about like femme archetypes, like the Spice Girls, right? I think feminist is, I mean, what I've really learned, it used to be like, I originally thought, oh, feminist is like womanhood. It's not true because there are lots of femmes who aren't women and don't identify as women, right? And feminist isn't necessarily femininity, although it frequently shows up that way. But I think feminist is just like your own expression of the divine feminine within. And I think we all have divine feminine and divine masculine and like, you know, divine non-binary, of course, too. But like like gender is something that is learned and it's expressed and it's something that's in the brain more than it is in your body, right? And so what I've realized is there are just like as many ways to be femme as there are femmes out there, and every femme is going to have a different expression of their identity, both like in external forms, right? Like right now, if you're just listening to this, I'm dolled up. Like I'm in my full, I call this my full gender, right? Like if I got big eyelashes on and a bold red lip and some bright red cheeks and then maybe some adornment, but like I let my earrings close up because I'm like allergic to all metals. And so at some point I'm going to re-pierce my ears, but not right now. It's not a priority. So, right. Like, and it's adornment for me and that's my feminist, right? And like, and it's evolved over time. And this is why I really wanted to talk about just the evolution of yourself and allowing yourself to just evolve and resonate in that moment. Because like, I think I got really interested in archetypes of femininity as a young person, but that was because it was resonant to me. Like I really loved Miss Piggy as a little one. I loved Dolly Parton. And I think that my expression of gender is certainly the two of those. But then like when I saw Ginger Spice for the first time, I was like that. I never considered one could have blonde and red hair at the same time. And now I have had Ginger Spice colored hair longer than Ginger Spice herself, Jerry Halliwell. And I think it's funny because like, I just want to encourage you to just find your examples and see what you like about that person and then try it on. You know what I mean? Because like, again, your paint box is as big as the World Wide Web now. So we have this like ability to just see more than just what corporations are creating for your consumption. I was watching clips of the Spice World movie prepping for this episode. I really prepped a lot and I was going to write a whole outline. And then I was like, oh, I can't. But I was looking at all of these clips from the Spice World movie. And it is really, the Spice World movie really is a tale of colonialism. Like they're on this world tour, like influencing people with their version of like femininity. And like, of course it's thinness and it's performative and they're young. And of course we live in a culture that like doesn't see beauty in all things and is afraid of death and dying pathologically. So like we throw away old people as not valuable when in fact they have all this potential wisdom. Again, wisdom really is evaluated experience. And I see a lot of people just getting older without getting wiser. But that's not who I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with the people who are excited about their own evolution, or perhaps willing to be evolving. Because I will say I've never really been excited about my evolution, because most evolution is uncomfortable. But something that is uncomfortable is like trying on a new aesthetic. It can be a little thrilling. I like to, my friend Drea says that alignment feels like a jolly free fall. And that's what I think like trying on a new look is, you know, it's a jolly free fall. It's like, and I always want to encourage you, if you're going to try on a new look, do it first by yourself and then with trusted friends. Like I call it like the brunch reveal, like you're going to brunch with friends, or you're going to someone's house for brunch or something like that, right? Trying it on then, and then taking it with trusted friends out in the world. And then you start boldly walking around the world just in your new aesthetic, right? And like a lot of people have very evolving aesthetics. I am not like that. I'm Capricorn with a Scorpio Venus. You always want to look at your Venus sign when you think about your aesthetic, because Venus, the sign of beauty or the planet of beauty. And for me, it took me like 5 years to decide to get bangs. I was thinking about it for a very long time. I'm just the kind of person that like really roots into... I don't know. I find a lot of comfort and similarity. And comfort in like seeing myself reflected, but I'm such an unusual person. I don't really see myself reflected, if that makes sense. I don't know. But I've learned and evolved to become more comfortable with other people's evolutions, because I have realized that the loudest way to love someone is to just believe them and accept them for who they are right now. And there are a lot of people who are different than me. And that's the whole point of being a human, is everyone's going to do it differently. And watching my friends evolve has actually been quite joyful. And so over time I've learned, okay, it can be okay for things to change around me. And that's good. Right. So feminine archetypes. I just want to underscore, there's no one right way to do and be femme, right? Like, and, there are a lot of people out there who will say that femme is a queer identity. And I also learned through my experience of being a queer for a very long time that, I'm not here to police anybody. I am like evicting the cop out of my head. I am not a cop to anybody else. I am a sister. So like, I am here to just accept you. If you are a straight person, you want to identify as femme, that's cool. I know a lot of people out there who are living in straight relationships who are queer identified, and like, that is very invisibilizing. And like, that's, there's a lot to unpack from that. I would actually really suggest following FY Melissa Fabello on Instagram.com. She's a sex and relationship coach, but she's also a queer femme and has a lot of nuanced understanding of bisexuality, and coaches a lot of people who are queer femmes in relationship with cis men. And there's a lot of ways that like people just default to dating cis men because it's quote easier, because there isn't the depth of emotion. And I will tell you a book I'm very excited to read. And I got my bestie Alexis on board with reading it too. So finally I have someone I can talk to about it, which is, The Will to Change Men, Masculinity and Love by Bell Hooks. And I have a women and gender studies degree, from UC Davis. Not that degrees, I mean, it's kind of an expensive receipt, but it did really seed in my mind, like the ways in which compulsory masculinity is a cage for men and how limiting it is for them when they're socialized in toxic masculinity. It's like anger, sadness, and happiness. And those are the three emotions they get. Like, it's not actually like Dr. Brené Brown, a Scorpio, has mapped out like 70 something emotions in the Atlas of Feelings. And so like, if you are like living with this, like actual feelings that are like that, and but you only have three colors to choose from, like no wonder they're so toxic and terrible and underdeveloped, you know? And so anyway, I'm very curious what Bell Hooks has to say about it. And so if you're in Bevan's book club, a totally informal thing, read A Will to Change too, or The Will to Change along with us. I'd love to hear your thoughts. fatkiddanceparty@gmail.com. Also, if you have any questions for me, you can throw those my way. I love listener questions, and I'm very committed to expanding my capacity this year, which means weekly podcast episodes and firing up far more regular blog posts and things like that. So anyway, I want to also say, like, what are the limits and icons of Spice Girls? Here's the thing. It's like when we had the limited access to media that we had in the late 90s when the Spice Girls were huge, right? Like, I just think we're going to have less and less of that unless it's something that's resonating with people in the popular discourse. And we're really hearing more now from our friends. And I don't think this was different at the time either, right? Because, like, you know, if there was something cool and your friends were into it, you get into it. You get into what your friends are getting into. But I just think it's different now because we have more independent voices out there and more people able to just kind of show us what it looks like for them to paint with their colors from their paint box. You know, I'm using like both painting and crayons. But really, I just mean like doing you heavily and experimenting with who you are heavily, right? And I almost put together a slideshow of like my various aesthetics over the years until I fell into what I'm doing right now. Because I started out with just the Ginger Spice strips in front of my hair, and I had very short hair back when I was a practicing lawyer and I had the money to get regular haircuts. My hair started getting long when I stopped having money for haircuts that regularly, right? And so just slowly but surely my aesthetic changed as I just kept evolving. And now it's been pretty static for the last few years, but like I started letting my hair grow long at the time. But then I just like kept it like kind of like a little below shoulder for quite some time when I was living in New York and then when I was living in LA. And then when I moved up here to the woods and just really, I'm going to say I'm tangling. This is my growth edge right now, is I'm really tangling with my abundance mindset and an abundance perspective on the world while also realizing that I have shrunk my needs so much to match like a very limited income. But it's because I wanted to live out the freedom to have the time and space to heal from like 30 years of burnout. And so like, I'm so, so grateful for my Patreon supporters because like that regular income has enabled me to really just focus on producing great quality content for the world. And then like a lot of girl moss time where I lay on the forest floor. And it's really interesting because my, some of my psychic readings, my friend Jana from Feeling Loudly, did a year ahead reading for me and a few other things that I've gotten readings from are really warning me against burnout and telling me how much sleep I need. But I'm trying to figure out how to expand what I offer and how I offer it to the world without needing to get a job. I did get a side job cleaning last August, and just because, like, you know, my Reiki sessions, I offer Reiki if you want to have, well, energy healing. And I also offer business brainstorm sessions, but all of those kind of dried up last summer. And I don't know any entrepreneur didn't have a hard 2023 economically. So I got a job cleaning one day a week. And then I was able to rage quit my cleaning job. It was, I'm going to say it, it was here on my land. I live on a land that's co-owned by about 100 women. And it's run by boomers who are big into authority and control. And I was able to rage quit because they treated me very unfairly. And within 36 hours, I had another cleaning job lined up with my friend Alexis, the aforementioned bestie local, who runs a small hotel. So if you want to come to Port Townsend and you book at the Washington Private Suites, you can mention Bevan's Party and get $25 off a night plus a little gift from me and Alexis. And I love it. Like, it's actually like been really good for me because like using my body that intentionally, like plus the aerobics classes I'm teaching, plus like all of the walking I do and things like that are keeping my body in what I would call my fighting shape. And that for me is just as someone who aspires to film more workout videos. And when you film a production like that, it's kind of like running a half marathon for 2 days, you know? So I just want to be in that shape. And also I needed to trade some time for money. And anyway, all that to say, like, I don't know, like it feel like economic insecurity sucks and like conforming my aesthetic to like, well, it's a lot cheaper to never cut your hair. Like I learned how to cut my own bangs. And so that's kind of like the aesthetic now I would say in many ways it's kind of like a bombshell, like quarantine mermaid hair, but like by default, you know? But I will say there's a lot more that I would do with money, like in terms of taking supplements, because I just understand how much nutrition improves quality of life. That's where my money would go first. And then experiences, like I want to travel and see my friends. I really, really miss my friends. And so anyway, that's my like growth edge right now, is like living in a mindset of abundance while God is literally like taking, I'm not going to cry about Biscuit Reynolds on the podcast today, but like taking things that I love out of my life, and kind of showing me like what's left, like what do you have and what's left when it's all like appears to be gone, and like what you hope for does not yet seem to appear on the horizon, right? Like, are you going to keep going? I think sometimes I read a lot of memoirs about successful people. And the thing about it is like you just have to keep going. And that success, there's no finish line to success. Like people like hit what we would, you know, like what we're taught is success, right? Fame and money. But it's pretty incredible how miserable a lot of very famous, very wealthy people are. And like I think a rich guy told me this once, like wealth is a more comfortable form of misery. And you know, like most important things cost money, so money is still like a thing to solve, right? But like if you can, I don't know, I'm just really into this idea of like creating more communities out there that are interdependent and supporting one another in ways that are different than capital, than moving money around, because the government really wants you to move money around so they can siphon money off of it, and corporations too, right? And I'm doing the best I can to like, I'd rather spend $20 on a journal that supports a friend of mine's small business. Shout out to Street Rat Draws, who makes my journals. Aren't these cute? I actually really love them. They're like dot on the inside. So if you're a bullet journaler, you can do that. Or if you're just a free writer, messy writer like me, and just fill it with your passions and thoughts. Anyway, I'd rather spend $20 within my community because I know it directly supports my friend, then like go out and get some cheap thing at Target, because then the money is going to go to the Target shareholders who are nameless, and mostly that goes into the pockets of hedge fund bros, and I don't want them making money off of my money. As much as possible, I'm going to put my money in the hands of someone else. So I know I talk about that a lot on this podcast, but it really is like your time, treasure, and talent. Like people are really, like people, corporations are really vying for your attention. They want your time. And your talent, you have so much to give. And I just want you to keep like looking for your resonance. And like I think Leah Garza said this beautiful thing about resonance and your purpose, which is really just to like, it's there's no grand purpose for your life. Your purpose is to be in the present moment and listen for resonance. And something I wanted to talk about too, about like colonialism and the Spice Girls, and just having the presupposition that all people are good inherently. It applies to you. You know, like shame is a tool of the patriarchy to keep you stuck. And shame is like, I am bad, versus guilt, which is I did something bad, right? Guilt can like help spur you to do better next time, right? But shame is paralyzing, because people who feel shame feel like they like it's a somatic response to shame. Like your body comes online in this way, like where your fight or flight mode is activated, and you can't learn in that circumstance. And so like when people are shamed, like social justice communities like canceling people, like that creating shame with people doesn't actually create a willingness to learn. And I know that I have fucked up so much in my life. Like that's kind of why like there was a lot for me to work through to be like okay with like, I just have this blog archive, the internet. I don't know what I said, you know, but like I tried to give as much value as I could in that moment. And I just keep learning and growing. And I'm doing the best to give every version of myself grace, because I know I was doing the best I could at the time, right? But also recognizing, like, you know, I'm never going to get it all the way right. I'm just going to keep trying until I figure something out. And I just want to encourage you to try, you know, and not to let shame paralyze you into not taking the risks in your life. In this time, I've had a lot of chance to like reflect on paths not taken in my life. And I will say, like, my big regrets are the times where I chose fear over faith, instead of just choosing to like see what could happen. And there's so much on the other side of that. And like, you know, I also just accept this is how things turned out. And if they were supposed to be any different, they would be. And I also trust the divine timing and divine will in all things. And I'm going to close off with this, knowing that there was so much more I was going to say about perfectionism and shame, but that's a tool of white supremacy to keep us stuck. And there's a lot of cool stuff I'm learning with Leah Garza and her Living Systems curriculum. And, but like, I want you to understand that there is a you that wants to be expressed, and that I believe there's divinity in all things and all people. Meaning, like, for me, God is not some man in the sky. God is the life force energy that pumps my heart and animates my breath. And, you know, like, why do we sleep and dream? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much that's unknown. But when we deny the divinity in anyone else or any other thing, we deny the divinity in ourselves. And that's what's really sad, is that like, when we have this idea of hierarchy, like social hierarchy, like, oh, like with the Spice Girls, they're so good, so beautiful, so luminous because they're young, white, mostly women, right? Like with Eurocentric beauty standards and all of that kind of stuff. And like, it's this interesting idea that like there's someone that's better than you, when in fact, like humility, something I learned in recovery, is the idea that everyone is like worthy of humanity and that everyone has value. And like, yeah, people are divine are denying people's divinity right and left right now. And I want you to really look at those people who do that and see how much they're suffering. Not happy people don't need to oppress other people to feel better. And people who truly feel good about themselves don't need to step on someone else's neck in order to feel better, right? Like, there's a Toni Morrison quote that is the gist of that, which is basically like, if you can only feel tall by cutting someone else down, how you doing? You know? So anyway, just some thoughts from me. Everything in this podcast is just take what you like and leave the rest. I hope you enjoyed our visit. I've enjoyed our time together. If you have ideas for other podcast episodes you want my advice on or my thoughts on, fatkiddanceparty@gmail.com. And I just adore you. Thanks for being here. I hope you have a good one. Bye, everybody.